Boys and girls, on recent Sunday mornings, we've been thinking, haven't we, about our picture of an elephant. Do you remember that? And the thing is, it's a jigsaw puzzle, so with only one bit of the jigsaw puzzle, you can't see all the elephant, can you? You can only see part of it. You need both bits of the jigsaw puzzle to see all the elephant. And it's a bit like that with the Bible. We've been learning that the Lord Jesus, he is the God of the New Testament. And we learn lots about the Lord Jesus in the New Testament. But what we've been learning is that we also need to know that Jesus is the God of the Old Testament. That if we're really going to understand all that the Bible tells us about Jesus, we need both parts of the Bible. We need the Old Testament and we need the... Right, try that. We need the Old Testament and we need the New Testament. That's right. Now, this morning, we're going to have a Bible reading from the Old Testament, all right, from the first part of the Bible. It's Isaiah 53. The words will be on the screen, and I'm going to read it from the screen, but adults might like to turn up Isaiah 53. And Isaiah 53 is a favorite part of the Old Testament for many, many Christians. And the reason why is that although it was written 700 years before Jesus came to earth, it tells us very clearly about what happened as the Lord Jesus died on the cross. So as we read it, and I'm going to read it from the screen, all right? You follow the words and see if you can notice how it tells us about the Lord Jesus and his death on the cross, even though it was written 700 years earlier. You ready? So you follow as I read. Who has believed our message? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? He grew up before him like a tender shoot and like a root out of dry ground. He had no beauty or majesty to attract us to him, nothing in his appearance that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and familiar with suffering. Like one from whom men hide their faces, he was despised and we esteemed him not. Surely he took up our infirmities and carried our sorrows. Yet we considered him stricken by God, smitten by him and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him, and by his wounds we are healed. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth. He was led like a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is silent, so he did not open his mouth. By oppression and judgment he was taken away. And who can speak of his descendants? For he was cut off from the land of the living. For the transgressions of my people he was stricken. He was assigned a grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death, though he had done no violence, nor was there any deceit in his mouth. Yet it was the Lord's will to crush him and cause him to suffer. And though the Lord makes his life a guilt offering, he will see his offspring and prolong his days, and the will of the Lord will prosper in his hand. After the suffering of his soul, he will see the light of life and be satisfied. By his knowledge, my righteous servant will justify many, and he will bear their iniquities. Therefore, I will give him a portion among the great, and he will divide the spoils with the strong, because he poured out his life unto death and was numbered with the transgressors. For he bore the sin of many and made intercession for the transgressors. Adults, why don't you open your Bible at Isaiah 53? And boys and girls, I want you to keep your eyes on me. I just need to get a chair. And I'm going to put this chair over here, and I'll explain why in a moment. But boys and girls, will you sit up straight? Come on, sit up straight. I want you to wind up your brains. Let me see you winding up your brains. Zip up your mouths, unless I ask you to speak. Pin back your ears. Open your eyes, because we're going to learn together this morning something very, very important. And I want you to think with me about what it means to trust someone. What does it mean to trust someone? Now, I need a couple of volunteers. I need a daddy and their child. I need a daddy and their child. How about Josh and Pete, yeah? Pete, you are Pete. Yeah, I know you're Pete. Now, Josh and Pete, I want you to stand over there. Is that right? If you could just stand there. All right, so you're watching carefully. Now, I want you to imagine, Josh, are you listening? I want you to imagine. Now, be very careful, actually. I can't really do that. I want you to imagine that between you and me here, all right, between this table and this chair, there is a really deep river, all right? And this river, the water in this river is up to there. So it's above you. Is that right? It's way above you. And if you tried to get across it, well, you'd probably drown, wouldn't you? Okay? So what you need is daddy. Why? Because daddy is taller than you, isn't he? So if he walks through that river, what's going to happen to him? He's going to be all right. Is that right? So, Josh, how are you going to get across the river? How do you think you'll get across? Anybody tell Josh how he's going to get across the river? Yes, Noah? Sorry? Or put it more simply than that, what does he need? He needs to be carried across the river, doesn't he? Now, Josh, can I ask you some questions? Do you think that daddy is tall enough to get through the river? You sure? Do you think he's strong enough to carry you across the river? Are you sure? Did he have his Weetabix this morning? And do you think he loves you enough not to drop you when he's carrying you across the river? Are you sure about this? Okay, well, are you going to trust your daddy? Do you know what do you have to do to trust your daddy, do you think? What does he have to do? What does he have to do? Someone tell me? Yes, Clara, do you know? Josh, you just have to let your dad carry you. Go and ask him to carry you. That's good. Now, let's see. Is Josh going to get safely across the river? Yeah, come on, let's see. Oh, wonderful, isn't it? Wonderful, right? You did that very well. Big hand for big, strong Pete. Now, I know that was a very simple thing to do, but you see, why could Josh trust his daddy? Well, because his daddy's tall, because his daddy's strong, and because his daddy loves him. Now, as you come to church, I'm sure that you've heard over and over again that the big message of the Bible is that we must believe in the Lord Jesus. What does it mean to believe in the Lord Jesus? Well, it means that we trust him. It means trusting the Lord Jesus just like Josh trusted his daddy. And in both the New Testament and the Old Testament, we're told lots of things about the Lord Jesus that give us the reasons why we can and why we must put our trust in the Lord Jesus. And we're going to think this morning about two names for the Lord Jesus that are given to us in Isaiah 53. Would you like to see the names? You don't seem very awake this morning. Would you like to see the names? Yeah, good. Okay, here's the first one, Man of Sorrows. And the second one is the Righteous Servant. Can you say these names? Man of Sorrows, the Righteous Servant. Now, these two names for the Lord Jesus, they go together. And as we understand how they go together, we'll understand why we should trust the Lord Jesus as Josh trusted his daddy. Let me show you how they go together. I want you to try and learn this with me. Jesus became a man of sorrows to be the righteous servant. Could you say that with me? Jesus became a man of sorrows to be the righteous servant. Let's have just the boys and girls say that, all right? One, two, three, and Ewan and Courtney can help them. Right, one, two, three.
Jesus became a man of sorrows.
That was quite good. Try it without Courtney and Ewan now, all right? One, two, three. Shall we see if the grown-ups can do it? Right, all the children stay quiet now. Grown-ups, one, two, three.
Jesus became a man of sorrows to be the righteous servant.
Now let's try and think about each of these names for Jesus in turn. First of all, he is a man of sorrows. So here I have a man, all right? And that man, well, he represents all human beings. All right, whether you're a man or a woman, a boy or a girl. Now, let me ask you some questions. Hands up time. Hands up if you're a human being. Some of you haven't got your hand up. That's a bit worrying. Where did you come from? All right, hands down. Okay, hands down. Hands up if you've ever been sad. Okay, hands down. Hands up if you've ever cried because you've been sad. Okay, hands down. Hands up if you've ever had tears running down your cheeks because you're sad. Yeah? Okay. Do you know why that is? It's because to be a human being, to be a man, a woman, a boy, or girl, is to know sorrows. Now, what are sorrows? Sorrows are things that make us sad. Sorrows are things that make us cry. I wonder what kind of things cause you sorrows. Let me give you some ideas. You see, here's some of the things that cause sorrow. Things other people do. They cause us sorrow, don't they? If someone's nasty to us. Things other people say can cause us sorrow. But then, of course, there are things that we do as well, and things that, hang on a minute, there we go, things that we say. You see, have you ever discovered that you can do things or say things and they cause either you or other people sorrow? Have you discovered that? Maybe it happens at home with your brothers and sisters, if you've got them. And then, of course, when things go wrong, that can cause sorrow, can't it? And when you have an accident, well, that can cause sorrow. And if you or someone you love has an illness, well, that can cause sorrow. Or just when there's trouble, well, that makes us sad. And then, of course, there's things like broken relationships. They cause us sorrow. And ultimately, the thing that often causes the most sorrow is death. When somebody dies. Now, these are all things that we experience because we're human beings. And to be human is to know sorrows. I need a volunteer. Can I have another volunteer? Let's have a volunteer. Right, who am I going to have? All right, Noah. Noah, I want you to come up here and I want you to put on this rucksack, okay? Can you do this? Can you put on this rucksack? Ready? Are you strong? That wasn't very confident. Are you strong?
Okay,
all right. Well, because what we're going to do is we're going to put these sorrows in his rucksack. Shall we do that? So things that people say that make us sad, things that we do that make us sad, trouble that makes us sad, what other people say that make us sad, what other people do that make us sad, illness that makes us sad. Are you coping? Accidents that make us sad, okay? Death that makes us sad. Wrong things that happen that make us sad. Broken relationships that make us sad. Is that getting heavier? Yeah? Okay, you can just stand there for a moment. Is that all right? You all right there? Yeah? Now, sorrows are like a heavy load. In fact, I beg you to sit down for a moment. Will you just sit down there? Maybe sit sideways so you don't hurt your back. Okay, there you go. That's good. Now, sorrows are like having a big rucksack on your back. Many people experience many, many sorrows. And the truth is that the longer you live, the more sorrows you have. And sorrows can weigh us down like a heavy rucksack. Are you coped? Stand up again. Hang on a minute. Do you just want to stand there? It's not hurting your back? If you stood there for a long time, do you think it would hurt your back? No? Yes, it would. Strong man. You can sit down now. I'll need you again in a minute. So keep looking this way. Concentrate on the talk. Good. Okay. Now, the question I want you to think about, you all look at me, boys and girls. Look at me, not at him. I'm much uglier than him, so look at me. Why is it that there are so many things that cause sorrow for human beings? Why is it that so many people, have, as it were, a full rucksack, a huge rucksack on their backs full of sorrows? Well, the Bible tells us it's because of sin. If there was no sin in the world, there would be no sorrows. And all the sorrows in the world that we experience, they are all telling us that there's something wrong with this world. You've heard about the Garden of Eden, haven't you? Do you remember the Garden of Eden? In the Garden of Eden, there were no sorrows. There were no tears. There was nothing in the Garden of Eden that made Adam and Eve sad because it was the perfect place. But then Adam and Eve sinned. And ever since then, to be human has been to know sorrows. What's this a picture of? What's this a picture of? Yes? What's it a picture of? It's a sheep. And the Bible tells us something about sheep. Do you know what it tells us? It tells us sheep are stupid. Now, my mum said you should never call anybody stupid, but the Bible says that sheep are stupid. They need a shepherd to guide them and direct them. If sheep go on their own way, they get into all sorts of trouble. And Isaiah 53 says that the reason that we know sorrows is because we are like sheep. Because like sheep, we have gone astray. Each of us has turned to our own way. That's what Adam and Eve did in the Garden of Eden. They went their own way. That is what we all do. And that means that we don't only know sorrows. It actually means that we deserve sorrows. And not just the sorrows of this life, but also we deserve the sorrows of forever punishment for our sins after we die. Noah, will you stand up, please? I need to add one to your bag. All right, that's a heavy one. That's a double one. All right? You okay there? You can sit down again if you want. So to be human, are you still with me? To be human is to know sorrows. There are sorrows in the world because of sin. And actually what the Bible says is that we all deserve sorrows and we all deserve to have the forever punishment of God, the forever sorrows of being punished by God forever and ever and ever. Now we need to understand that, to understand why it is wonderful that Jesus became a man of sorrows. You see, it's an amazingly loving thing that happened when Jesus came into the world. Yeah, you see, how did Jesus come into the world? Well, the Lord Jesus came into the world as a man, a real man. And as a real human being, he knew real sorrows. Jesus knew what it was to cry. He knew what it was to have tears coming down his cheeks. Look at this part of Isaiah 53. It reads, "He was despised and rejected, a man of sorrows and familiar with suffering." To be familiar with something means that you know about it. So Brandon is familiar with school. Because he goes to school, he's familiar with school. Who's familiar with school? If you go to school, you're familiar with school. Jesus was familiar with suffering. He knew suffering and pain, the pain especially of what others did to him. Adults, if you look down at your Bible, you'll see that there are lots of words to use to describe the sorrows that Jesus experienced. We're told that he was despised. That means he was treated as if he was nothing. The way we might treat a piece of toilet paper only to be flushed down the toilet, that's how Jesus was treated. And Jesus was rejected. Rather than people welcoming Jesus, they said, "We don't want you." In fact, they said, "We want you dead." And we see Jesus most as the man of sorrows, as he suffered and went to die on the cross. Let me read to you what happened to Jesus. Are you listening? Will you sit up carefully and listen? We're told the soldiers led Jesus away into the palace. That was called the Praetorium. And he called together the whole company of soldiers. And they put a purple robe on Jesus. And they twisted together a crown of thorns. And they put it on his head. And then they began to call out to him, "Hail, King of the Jews!" They weren't being very kind. And again, they struck him on the head with a stick. Do you think that was nice? Do you think that caused sorrows? I'm sure it did. And then they spat at him. And they knelt down in front of him. And they fell on their knees and they were just pretending and they paid homage to him. And then when they mocked him, they took off the purple robe, they put his own clothes on him, and they led him out to crucify him. And that meant that they took him to this horrible place, and they got a hammer and some nails, and they nailed him through his hands and through his feet to the cross. And they left him there to die. Do you think Jesus was a man of sorrows? He was, wasn't he? All sorts of sorrows. He knew sorrows. Now, we might have been thought, if we'd been there as Jesus was dying on the cross, we might have thought, he must have done something really bad. And we might have thought, well, God must be really, really angry with Jesus to be punished like a criminal. But here is the amazing thing. Jesus knew sorrows, but Jesus did not deserve sorrows. Jesus knew sorrows. He did not deserve sorrows because Jesus did not sin. But the sorrows that Jesus experienced were the sorrows caused by my sin, by the sin of others. And what Isaiah 53 tells us is that Jesus is the man of sorrows who came to be the sorrows carrier. Will you look at Isaiah 53 again? Look what it says in verse 4. "Surely he took up our infirmities and carried our sorrows." Right, you can stand up again, Noah. You ready for this? All right? What's in Dougal's rucksack? Sorry. What's in Noah's rucksack? What's in Noah's rucksack?
Sorrows.
Here's what happened as the Lord Jesus died on the cross. According to Isaiah 53, you can go and just sit down, okay? According to Isaiah 53, the Lord Jesus took up the sorrows of others. He took up the sorrows of others, and it's as if, as he died on the cross, the Lord Jesus put that rucksack of sorrows on himself. You see, look back to Noah. Does Noah have his sorrows on his back anymore? They've gone. Where have they gone? They've gone over there, haven't they? You can go and sit down now, Noah. You've done a great job. The sorrows have been taken away. And the Bible tells us that as Jesus died on the cross, look what it says he was doing. It says he was pierced for our transgressions. That's our sins. He was crushed for our iniquities. That's another word for sins. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him. And by his wounds, we are healed. Do you see what we're being told? Jesus came as the man of sorrows in order to be the sorrows carrier. To take upon himself the sorrows that I deserve because I'm a sinner. And what Isaiah 53 tells us is that this was all God's wonderful plan. Can we say what we were learning again? You ready? Jesus became, try that again. Ready? Jesus became a man of sorrows to be the righteous servant. A servant. What's a servant? A servant is someone with a job to do. Does anyone have servants at home? Oh, do you? If we'd lived quite a long time ago and if we had lots and lots and lots of money, we'd have had servants. Posh people would have had servants. All right? And they'd have servants to do different things. So if you lived in a really big posh house, you'd have a cleaning servant. What would their job be to do? Yes? To clean. Okay? You might also have a cooking servant. What would their job be? Yes? To cook. You're getting the idea. You might have a bed-making servant. What would their job be? Yes? To make the beds, okay? And you might have a driving servant. What would his job be? Yes? To drive. Now, what is the Lord Jesus? The Lord Jesus came as the man... It's slipping, isn't it? He came as a man of sorrows to be the righteous servant. What was the job of the Lord Jesus? It was to do the right thing. And it was to put people right with God. Look again at Isaiah 53. It says, after the suffering of his soul, which is after he died on the cross, the Lord Jesus will see the light of life. That means he would come back to life again, the resurrection, and he'd be satisfied. In other words, he'd look at what happened to him on the cross and he would say, actually, that was good. Because I did what I'd been sent to do. What had been sent to do? Well, look what it says. By his knowledge, my righteous servant will justify many. Now, that might not be a word you know, the word justify. But to justify means to put something or someone right. And we've been learning, haven't we, that there's something wrong with us because actually we do sin and we do deserve sorrows because we sin and we deserve sorrows not just now but forever and ever and ever. But here's why Jesus was the sorrows carrier. Jesus was the sorrows carrier in order to be the righteous servant who puts people like us right with God. We were far away from God. We're all like sheep. We've gone astray. We've gone to our own way. But the Lord Jesus died as the sorrows carrier so that as we trust him, he puts us right with God. He forgives our sins. And he promises that we'll be right with God forever and ever and ever. Can I ask you a question this morning? Will you look at me again, boys and girls? Have you put your trust in the Lord Jesus yet as the man of sorrows who is the righteous servant? You may say, well, how can I do that? Well, you say something to the Lord Jesus like this. You say, Lord Jesus, I thank you that you became a man of sorrows to be the righteous servant. Lord Jesus, I admit that I'm a sinner and I deserve to have a life full of sorrows and I deserve to have the sorrows of your punishment forever and ever. But Lord Jesus, thank you that you came to be the sorrows carrier. And thank you that you promise that you will put right everyone who trusts in you. Lord Jesus, please put me right. And the wonderful thing is that if you ask Jesus to put you right, he will. Why? Can you say it with me? Because Jesus became a man of sorrows to be the righteous servant. And if we've been put right with God by Jesus, what does that mean? Does it mean that we'll never know sorrows? Well, no, it doesn't. In fact, the Bible says we will still know sorrows because we're still human beings who live in a world where much is wrong. But can I tell you a wonderful thing that the book of Isaiah tells us? Another bit of the book of Isaiah tells us. It tells us that if we are those who are trusting the Lord Jesus, then even though we'll still have sorrows until we die, the wonderful thing is that the Lord Jesus will carry us through those sorrows. Can I show you a lovely verse? Here it is. It's a promise. Even to your old age and grey hairs. Hands up if you've got grey hairs. Yeah, some of you have. Yeah, okay. Even to your old age and grey hairs, I am he. I am he who will sustain you. I have made you and I will carry you. I will sustain you and I will rescue you. And those who trust in the Lord Jesus as the man of sorrows who came to be the righteous servant, they will know that the Lord Jesus will carry them, helping them, bringing them safely through all the sorrows that we experience as human beings until he brings us to what the Bible calls the new creation. You see, what was true in the new creation? Were there any sorrows in the Garden of Eden? Were there any sorrows in the Garden of Eden? No, because there was no sin in the Garden of Eden. Were there any tears in the Garden of Eden? Pardon? No, because there was no sin in the Garden of Eden. There were no sorrows in the Garden of Eden. And the Bible tells us that the reason why the Lord Jesus became a man of sorrows to be the righteous servant is actually to get ready all who will trust in the Lord Jesus, to get them ready for what is called the new creation, that place where there will be no sorrows, because there'll be no sin, there'll be no tears, there'll be nothing wrong at all. And we can be sure that we'll be part of that only as we trust Jesus. And can you say it one last time? Jesus became a man of sorrows to be the righteous servant. Are you trusting him? There's nothing more important. Let's bow our heads and let's pray. Lord Jesus Christ, we thank you that you came to be a man of sorrows, to be the righteous servant. We thank you that as the man of sorrows, you became the sorrows carrier as you died on the cross. We thank you that you carried the sorrows of others, that all who trust in you might be put right with God forever and forever, and be sure they will be part of the new creation. Lord Jesus, we deserve sorrows, not just now, but forever and forever and forever. Lord Jesus, we trust you as the sorrows carrier. Please put us right with God, even now. And as we trust you, may we trust that whatever sorrows we experience, you understand because you are the man of sorrows. And you are the one who's promised to carry us and bring us safely to that new creation where there is no sorrow. We praise you. In your name, amen.